Well, on this Father's Day, we're going to look at a father's welcome and the father's shocking welcome. It's in this chapter of Lost and Found where the lost are sought and found and then there's a great rejoicing. And in this third story that Jesus told, it's about the two sons. And surely here we find one of the most moving scenes in the whole of the Bible. The father welcoming back the prodigal son. And prodigal means wasteful or reckless. The father welcomes back the wasteful, the reckless son. And that moment is surely right up there in great reunions and great reconciliations. If you're a fan of long lost family, then this is certainly up there with that. The father being reconciled with the son. If you're old enough to remember the railway children, that scene at the end when Roberta goes down to the railway station and sees her dad suddenly appear out of the smoke of the steam engine. She cries out, "My daddy, my daddy!" Well, this scene is right up there with that. Here the father sees the son. He has compassion on that son. He runs towards that son. He falls on the neck of that son. He kisses that son. He kills the fattened calf and he holds a great celebration. It's a welcome, but it's also a shocking welcome, as we're going to see. It certainly shocks those who hear the story that Jesus tells. And simply this morning, we're going to look at three aspects of this story. The father's shocking welcome. And the first thing I want you to notice, please, is that this welcome is undeserved. It's an undeserved welcome. We might be moved by this scene, but it might also grate us in some way if we have a sense of justice. It certainly grates somebody in the account, as we're going to see. But we notice, first of all, that this father has two sons. Perhaps they were called William and Harry. Perhaps they were William and James, or Wilf and Seb, or even Elliot and Toby. The father has two sons. And the father sounds rather rich. We read here of property and shares in the estate. We read of hired hands and of a generous reception. But the younger son in this story suddenly says, "Give me the portion of the goods that falls to me." Some translations say, "Give me my share of the estate." And we all recognise those words, don't we? "Give me mine." It's the toddler in all of us, really. "Give me mine." And at this point, we might think this younger son is rather unpleasant and selfish. We might even conclude he's a nasty bit of work. He is defiantly challenging his dad, outrightly rejecting him. But in fact, listen, it's far worse than that, much worse, much more serious. You see, they lived in a different culture to the culture in which most of us live. They lived in an honour culture, where it was important that you honoured father and mother. You didn't dare show defiance. But this son did. To the extent that Jesus' hearers, as he told this story, would have been outraged at the story and almost would have found it unbelievable. You see, no record has ever been found from this part of the world of a real son treating his father in this way, disowning and dishonouring him to this degree in a culture which is one of honour and therefore shame. You see, the way this son behaved to his father would have publicly disgraced the father. There was nothing lower he could have done. It was almost unthinkable. I hope you understand that here he was treating the father as though he was dead. You see, the money would come to the son, wouldn't it, on the father's death. But now he says, "Give me now." The son's effectively saying, "You're as good as dead. I want my share. I cut all ties with you. I disown you and dishonour you. I defiantly challenge your authority to your face. I reject your claim of authority over me with sheer contempt. I establish my own right to live as I choose, as I please." It's utterly shocking. And the ears of those listening to Jesus, they would be ringing We may miss something of that. Well, don't this morning. Understand how shocking this was. We then read that this son, having gathered together all of the possessions which came to him, he very soon comes to ruin. And perhaps our sense of justice says, good, I'm glad he got what he deserved. But it was certainly a surprise to the young man, wasn't it? He wasn't expecting this. He gathered together all of his things, and quite soon, in his arrogance, he'd left home, presumably singing something like, things can only get better. But they didn't get better. They got worse. I mean, surely freedom was just around the corner. Oh no, captivity was around the corner. Surely his dreams would be fulfilled. Oh no, it wasn't a time of dreams. This guy walked into a nightmare. It got worse. He went as far away as he could from his father. He put as much distance as he could between himself and dad. Verse 13 speaks of a far country. There he wastes his possessions with reckless living. Later on, his older brother is going to accuse him of devouring the father's livelihood with prostitutes. So it's as soon as verse 14 that he's spent everything. He's lost the lot in sleazy, squalid, seedy living, acting wholly dishonourably. And just when you think things couldn't get worse, guess what? They get worse. Verse 15, we read a severe famine arises. And this son, a Jew doubtless, is in need. So desperately hires himself out to a Gentile. And the Gentile sends him into the fields to feed the pigs. There could have been nothing worse for a young Jewish man. He even comes to envy the pigs who are eating pods. But nobody gave him anything. And when we see the behaviour of the son, the first thing we want to recognise this morning is that the welcome he receives at the end of the story is undeserved. He certainly did not merit the welcome he received. Number one, it was undeserved. But secondly, notice that it's also unrestrained. The welcome he receives from the father is unrestrained. In verse 20, he comes to his father. We'll come back to see what happened in the meantime. But he has decided to return to the father he has publicly humiliated. Now, to Jesus' hearers, the scene when he gets back would also have been an equally jarring one as the first scene. Too shocking to be believable. You see, we take it that the father has been looking out for him because he sees him while he's still a great way off. I don't think it's coincidence he was looking out on that particular day. We guess he was looking out every day. Because the humiliated father so has this undeserving wretch in his heart. And he's so longing for him to return that he's looking out in hope and in expectation. And when this day he suddenly sees this son, he has compassion on him and he runs towards him. The scene to Jesus' hearers would have been ridiculous, laughable, shameful. No father ran in this frankly undignified way. He presumably tucked up his toga and ran. Well, you didn't run like this. And you certainly didn't run to meet someone who publicly humiliated you like this, unless you were going to exact revenge upon them. But this father doesn't exact revenge upon him. He falls on his neck. He kisses him. He embraces him. He says to the servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's eat and be merry because this son was dead and is alive again. Now I can almost imagine the hearers putting their hands over their ears at this point. This would have been too painful to hear. No self-respecting father would have behaved like that. It almost wasn't realistic, just like the son's earlier behaviour. Surely the son should have been rejected. Surely he should have been cast out as the father re-exerted his authority over him. Surely the son should have been richly humiliated, publicly shamed, told off and put on probation at the very least. But the unrestrained welcome he receives is utterly shocking. Number one, it's undeserved. And secondly, it's unrestrained. The father greatly and affectionately embraces him. But then thirdly, notice that this welcome is unknown to the other son. It's undeserved, unrestrained, and now unwelcome. And this third shock would hit the home even more deeply in the ears of Jesus' hearers. You see, this scene is not a scene that the older brother himself has ever known. And of course, his reaction is another jarring note in the story. It's fascinating, isn't it, when you read what he says when he comes near and finds out about the celebrations. The older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. And the servant said, "Your brother has come, and because he's been received safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf." Now, how could that have then gone on to read? Well, we could have read that the older son then shook with tears of joy and rushed in to greet his long-lost brother. But we don't read that, do we? Rather, we read that he was angry and he would not go in, even though his father comes out and pleads with him. And verse 29 is the expression of his heart. "These years I've served you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." As soon as, and he almost spits it out, doesn't he? He doesn't say, "this brother of mine." He says, "this son of yours." As soon as he came, he who devoured your livelihood with prostitutes, you've killed a fattened calf for him. It's just not fair. It's just not right. This younger brother didn't deserve this. And I deserved better than the way you treated me. He deserved worse. I deserved better. You see, there's something about me which on merit deserves the kind of recognition and acceptance that the younger sons just had. And I've never known it. My labour, all through these years, deserved this kind of response which you've given to him who didn't deserve it. And I've never had it. And we may be shocked at that older brother's response, yet in also we sympathise. But beware. It's an unrestrained welcome. It's undeserved by the one who receives it. But it's unknown to the one who is aggravated by it. Now that's the story. And I hope you have those three headings clear in your mind. Undeserved, unrestrained, and unknown to one of the sons, but not to the other. Now, what are the lessons for us here today in 2020? Well, this is a parable that Jesus told. Why did he tell it? What was his message to those who were listening to him? Well, it was crystal clear. In verse 3, Jesus spoke this parable to them. He has them in his sights. Well, who's the them? Well, verse 2 tells us it's the Pharisees and the scribes. It's the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Why does he have them in his sights in this way? Well, because we're told at the beginning of the chapter that they were, listen, complaining that Jesus received and ate with tax collectors and sinners. The religious leaders were furious that Jesus was welcoming the obviously notorious sinners. The tax collectors, the sinners. Now, can you see that in response to that, the story Jesus tells is addressing what's going on? The prodigal son pictures the tax collectors and the sinners. The older son pictures the self-righteous Pharisees, the ones complaining. And the father pictures God. We might argue it pictures God the Father. We might argue it pictures God the Son. It pictures God. Have you got that? The prodigal son pictures the tax collectors and the sinners. The older brother pictures the self-righteous Pharisees, and the father pictures God. And there's only one purpose why Jesus tells the three stages of this one parable. And it's because there is, as he says a number of times in the story, great rejoicing when one sinner repents of their sin and comes back to the Father. There is great rejoicing when one sinner, someone who has rejected their loving Heavenly Father, repents of their sin, sees it for what it is, admits it, holds their hands up and turns from it and comes back to the Father that they have offended. You see, this chapter is about the remarkable reception and rejoicing of God at the repentance and return of a lost sinner. And it's also about the remarkable self-righteousness that refuses both to repent and to rejoice. So let's be clear what this means for us. The undeserved welcome. Well, we need to understand that the despicable treatment by the younger brother towards the father is a picture of the despicable nature of the way we have all treated Almighty and Eternal God. All of us. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all rebelled against God, His ways and His word. We're all guilty of nothing less than disowning and dishonouring God. Defiantly challenging His authority. He's God, He's the Creator, we're merely creatures. We're guilty of rejecting His authority, of treating Him with contempt, treating Him as though He was dead and didn't exist, establishing in our own arrogance and pride a rival authority in which we reign over our lives in our way. It's painful to face the truth, but the despicable treatment of the younger brother towards the father pictures me and you. Don't miss that painful fact. Without repentance, we will come to ruin, everlasting punishment. The undeserved welcome speaks of our behaviour. Secondly, there's the unrestrained welcome. And don't miss out here what Jesus is teaching about the loving and joyful reception a repenting sinner receives when they come back to God. Men, women and young people have been receiving this welcome for over 2,000 years. And they will be receiving it today. Will you? Let me mention again, this is what Jesus is emphasizing. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. When we admit our sin and turn from it and come back to God, this is the unrestrained welcome we receive. There's abundant, boundless kindness, mercy, grace, love from God to a repenting sinner. And it's pictured in the waiting, longing, running, embracing, kissing Father who spares nothing to welcome home the now penitent son. No expense is spared, a robe, a ring, sandals, a fatted calf. But the extent of God the Father's love to us is demonstrated in this, that His only begotten Son truly did die. This Son here was treated as though He was dead. God's only begotten Son truly did die. And He died to pay the price of our sins. And on the third day He rose from the dead. And that's why it's not unjust that if we as repenting sinners come back to God, we individually, personally receive this glorious welcome. Because we come back to God trusting in what Christ has done for us on the cross when He died to pay the price of our sins. That's the unrestrained welcome which every Christian received at conversion. This parable pictures instant and total forgiveness. That word from earlier on, justification. We come back and we're declared in an instant through our faith in Jesus to be right with God. We're fully restored. We're reconciled to God once and for all. We're adopted into his family once and for all. We're clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus once and for all. We receive eternal life once and for all. And all these things are known to a repenting sinner, a sinner who repents, when they turn from their unbelief and sin, when they renounce their sin and renounce their good deeds, and trust alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss what Jesus is teaching about the welcome a returning sinner receives. I've received that welcome. Have you? Have you turned from your sin and found his Father's welcome? It's the extraordinary love of God which sent Jesus to the cross. But thirdly, we said that this welcome was unknown. I wonder if, as you're listening this morning, in all honesty, this is unknown to you. It was unknown, wasn't it, by the older brother. He pictures the Pharisees to which this story was told. You see, they were a proud and arrogant people. The Bible says they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So they despised others. Hence the complaining when others turned and found this great welcome from one who claimed to be God. They had a self-righteous heart, the heart of the older brother. These many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed a commandment, you never gave me a young goat. Basically, I'm deserving. I should have simply had this kind of welcome for all that I was doing for you. But look how you treated this undeserving son. Oh, there's something about me which merits acceptance with God, recognition. That's what the Pharisees thought, and they deceived themselves. You see, the older brother was lost too, but he didn't recognize it. The Pharisees were lost. They didn't recognize it. Oh, some of the Pharisees and scribes came to faith, but we don't read it was the vast majority, because they didn't see their need. They refused to see how undeserving they were. They thought they were good enough for God in what they did. They thought that how they lived made them acceptable to God. How wrong they were. They were self-deceived. Could it be that you are self-deceived this morning? And you think that the good deeds that you do or the religious things that you put into practice make you acceptable to God when they don't? You see, as we close this morning, the key is this, isn't it? That the unrestrained and undeserved welcome is a welcome that's known by everyone who repents of their sin and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and comes back to God through faith in his Son Jesus. I say to you that likewise there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, Jesus said. And that's what the younger prodigal son did in those verses 17 to 20 that we missed out. He came to himself. He realized how much better off his father's hired servants were than he was. He made a terrible, arrogant mistake. And suddenly he puts his hands up. And he fully accepts the blame for making the mess that he's made in treating his father so despicably. So humbly he says, I'll arise and go back to my father and say, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. I think at that moment he wants to be treated like a hired hand, as though at that moment he thinks he might still bargain. But he has recognised that he's no longer worthy to be called his son. And yet the father welcomes him as that very thing. He returns and swallows his pride and says, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he's cut off at that point. The father embraces him. This my son. I own you, I accept you, I welcome you. This son was dead and is alive. He knows the unrestrained and undeserved welcome. But that welcome is unknown by those who today think that by their morals or by their way of life or by their religious practice, that those things make them deserving and acceptable to God. If you think there's something about you which on merit deserves recognition, acceptance and welcome from God, then the Bible says that you are sorely wrong. This welcome is unknown by those who think too highly of themselves, who think too little of the holiness of God, and too little of their own grievous offences and sins against Him. So it's unknown by those who, in their hearts, don't repent. They fail to recognise that they're lost, so they never return and are found. And yet this glorious welcome is known by all who humble themselves, admit and confess their sins, turn from those sins and come to God believingly, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So may I leave you with this morning. Our behaviour, all of us, towards God has been unimaginably hateful, defiant, despising, denying. Please don't think you're excluded. And yet for all who humble themselves to repent, there's this glorious welcome of unimaginable proportion. So can I urge you, please, today with all my heart, to repent, to turn from your sin, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to find a Father's welcome and a pardon for all of your sin? Won't you today come to your senses? Won't you arise and come to your loving Heavenly Father, repent and say, I have sinned, O God, against heaven and against you. There's an undeserved and unrestrained welcome. Don't let it be unknown in your life. Turn from your sin and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find a Father's welcome and a pardon for all your sins.